Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Still no NBA basketball, but we do have Major League Baseball today. Welcome into another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. It's days like this that I find it very hard to prep for the show. Now, we've been at this for 10 years now. We're approaching the 10-year mark of Drive Time Sports in November. And from time to time, something like this pops up, right? Where there's a specific topic that is dominating, but I've always tried to make this show specifically about sports. And I came to the conclusion last night that the days of watching sports to get away from politics and real-world problems, that's over and done with. It's finished. It's over. It's not going to happen anymore. There's no longer a line between sports and politics. And so last night I'm watching some of the aftermath and really trying to listen to the reason as to why we had no NBA basketball. And again, last night, we didn't know if we'd get a conclusion to the season, and that's no longer the case. We will get NBA basketball back. It will happen this weekend, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I started thinking, who is the catalyst for all this? And I believe it's quite simple. LeBron James. LeBron James has taken us into a new realm as far as sports and politics are concerned. And look, we had Brian Windhorst on the show, I want to say it was 7-8 months ago. He wrote a book about LeBron James becoming a billionaire athlete. And the book itself focuses very little on what LeBron does on the court. It's more about every move that this man has ever made from a calculated business standpoint. That's what that book was really based upon. And I thought it was a fascinating interview because you may not like LeBron James, and if you've listened to the show long enough, you know I'm not a LeBron James guy. But I do respect the type of leadership that he has commanded. Now, you don't have to agree with the cause, but the bottom line is LeBron James makes demands for social justice. He has been very vocal about it. And now it's first nature for NBA players to follow. And that's what we had yesterday. It may have been Milwaukee that started it. But LeBron James has been very active on social media. He's been very vocal. I've accused LeBron of being the guy that has started the fraternity mindset in the NBA. I believe that still exists. And now I believe he is responsible for NBA players using their platform in a different way than we have ever seen before. You tip your hat to the guy, whether you agree with it or not. I mean, his leadership ability is off of the charts. So again, talking about the NBA, we're not going to have any ball today. The Utah Jazz were expected to play the Denver Nuggets at 2:30 p.m., and we knew we'd get no basketball today. At no point in time last night did I think that the season was in jeopardy. At no point in time. And the reason I did not believe the season was in jeopardy is because there's too much money at stake. And ultimately, the NBA is a business. And ultimately, these players are paid handsomely to play the game of basketball. And if the season was to just stop, it's going to affect revenue moving forward. It's not just a one-season deal. It's not as if the remaining teams leave the bubble and say, we're done, we're not playing anymore, then we just start up next season and everything goes back to normal. That's not the way this works. It affects the salary cap for next season. There's a collective bargaining agreement that's going to be on the table relatively soon. It affects that. At no point in time did I think the season would be canceled yesterday. I did know there would be no basketball today, though, because you have six other teams that did not field the protest yesterday that had the opportunity today. And if they didn't, it would cause division within the NBA, which has ultimately become a fraternity, right, among its players. So I knew we wouldn't get basketball today, but the players met again this morning, a day after, and they voted in favor of resuming the playoffs. Now, again, if you missed it, the Bucks made the decision not to play yesterday. The Orlando Magic were out on the court. They were ready to go. They were warming up. And when games officially will be played has not necessarily been determined just yet, but it looks like it'll be Saturday and Sunday. So we'll also take tomorrow off as well. And the players' decision to continue the playoffs, it comes less than 24 hours after the Bucks decided they weren't going to play. And like I said, to me, it makes perfect sense that they're going to continue the postseason. You also have to look at the sacrifices that players, coaches, personnel they've already made. I mean, I understand, and I said this yesterday, I understand that these players are living in a billion-dollar bubble. And I have said multiple times that it is the safest place in the United States of America. If you're worried about the worldwide pandemic right now, the safest place in this country would be in this Orlando bubble. It's a billion-dollar bubble. In the same token, it's so different. It has taken people out of their routines. A lot of sacrifice has already been made. And now we're approaching the end of the opening round. Second round will be here relatively soon. And as far as the NBA schedule, it's not going to affect it by taking a couple of days off, because the schedule was put in place with the idea that there may be some postponements due to COVID-19, and we haven't had any of those as of right now. So we'll get NBA basketball back. It should be Saturday and Sunday, so we may get one more day off. Now, again, there were some baseball games last night that did not take place, but we are back off and rolling as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. We have a dandy going on right now in the bottom of the seventh inning. The Mariners and the Padres, two teams that are playing lights out. The score is 10-7 Padres. Will Myers just homered to left field, and it brought in three runs. So a three-run home run to break a 7-7 tie in the bottom of the seventh inning. Bottom of the eighth inning right now, the Pirates and the Cardinals are battling it out. Pirates hold a 4-3 lead, but the Cardinals are threatening. The Dodgers are just easily taking care of the San Francisco Giants. 5-0 in that contest, middle of the sixth inning. This is game one of a doubleheader. The second game will take place a little later on tonight. Top of the third right now, the Reds are on top of the Brewers, 3-0. And we have all kinds of games coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We get the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, the Mariners and the Padres will take on game two, as will the Pirates and the Cardinals. So a lot of doubleheader action. We get the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, the Orioles and the Rays as well inside 4 o'clock. And I mentioned the Dodgers and the Giants, second game. That'll start at 5:05. The Dodgers had Walker Buehler scheduled to go tonight, but Buehler has been placed on the IL list with a blister, and so the Dodgers are undecided on who they will throw out. Kevin Gausman, who has been mentioned in many trade rumors for the Giants, will take the mound tonight. Could be his final appearance in a Giants uniform. 5:10, we get the Marlins and the Mets. 6:10, game two between the Reds and the Brewers. And we have plenty of postponed games. The A's and the Rangers, Phillies, Nationals, Twins, and Tigers. A lot of interesting storylines around Major League Baseball as we inch a tad bit closer to the trade deadline. Those are some of the scores, all the scores in the schedule that's happening right now. And then we move over to college football. You know, we are gearing up for the college football season to begin. You would never know it. The hype isn't surrounding the upcoming season, even though we just had the AP poll released. We're talking more about the conferences that aren't playing, right? Even in the NFL. The NFL is... it's coming up. I mean, we're just a couple of weeks away. We had no preseason football this year, so teams had scrimmage games over the weekend. But as far as football in the Big Ten, one of the two Power 5 conferences that said they will not play this year, 8 Nebraska football players today filed a lawsuit against the Big Ten seeking to invalidate the league's postponement of the fall sports season, and they want an award for some of the damages. I'm curious to see where this goes. The Big Ten and the Pac-12, of course, not playing college football. And so here in the state of Utah, even though BYU is gearing up for the season, seems a little absent, doesn't it, without the Utah Utes. That's a quick look at what's happening at the national sports front. We're going to pause for just a moment. I got a lot of local sports to get to today. Next segment, we're going to be joined by Coach Phil Howa, the Carbon Dino football team. And we'll gear up for Emory's contest tomorrow. We're going to talk to senior Stockton Jensen. That's all straight ahead, plus a local sports recap in just a moment, right here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're live from the Auto Farm Studios on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
For every passing play, every running play, every win, and every loss, there is one man making all the calls. Get ready to dig deep into this week's game and relive all of last week's plays. It's Real Talk About Your Team
Let's talk more high school football. Tomorrow night on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, the Carbon Dinos will play host to the Duchesne Eagles. Should be an entertaining matchup. We had a battle last year in Duchesne. The final score of that game was 11-0. Worked out in favor of Duchesne. Carbon will have an opportunity for some revenge. They're coming off of their best performance of the young season, losing a 14-12 battle on the road to Cottonwood this past Friday. Joining us right now to talk about that and tomorrow's game, we have head coach Phil Howa in the studio right now. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jordan.
Absolutely, Coach. We always look forward to it. And we can start by talking about Friday's game. It was a road contest against Cottonwood. Now, I know, Coach, that it didn't end the way we would have liked, but there were plenty of positives, specifically the way the boys played in the second half. Defensively, you guys managed to shut them down, gave yourself an opportunity to pick up a victory. So, all in all, when you go back and you assess Friday's performance, what stands out to you?
Oh, just hard smash-mouth football. You know, that's one thing I told myself when we came in is that I just want our kids to be tough, be willing to tackle, and make some things happen, and never quit. And that's what I saw on Friday. Those kids had no quit in them.
Hey, it's 12-0 on the road, and you and I talked about this last week. You wanted a fast start because you thought a fast start punched Cottonwood in the mouth and maybe they would falter, but you also said, we got to make sure we're not on the opposite end of that. We got to make sure that we're not the team that falters. So you're down 12-0, yet you or 14-0, excuse me, and you find a way to fight back. Cut it to 2 points, had a chance to win the game. So, I mean, I guess when you talk about the fight, it was definitely there.
Well, you know what? They were big. Mm-hmm. They were big, strong kids, and our line was a little overwhelmed. You know, they had a 270-pound average line, and ours is about 210. We couldn't keep them out. We missed a field goal or an extra point, so we had to go for a two-point conversion, which put the score 12-14. We did have an opportunity to we were just a yard out, going for the two-point conversion. Another yard wider field, and we tie the game. I try to kick a field goal later in the game. They come up the middle. They block it. The score remains 14-12. So we had an opportunity to win. Probably should have been 20-14 in all reality. We did miss some opportunities. Threw the ball away at a couple times where, you know, experience will make a difference. We're going to get better. You know, we're going to make better reads. We're going to take care of the ball a little bit better, and just we're moving up. We're getting better every day.
Coach, I want to talk about attempting a field goal. For one, I love the fact that we have a team that has a field goal kicker that you have faith in to boot a 40-yard field goal. Not a lot of schools in the 3A classification have that. It's unfortunate that we didn't get to see if the field goal would have made it or not because it was blocked at the line of scrimmage. But nonetheless, the fact that you have a kicker, I mean, it does give you an advantage. I mean, a lot of games, look, you're at the 30-yard line with, well, we'll say 10 seconds to play in a contest. I know there was much more time than that left. But you have to heave it to the end zone. You guys don't have to do that. I mean, you have faith in your kicker.
Oh, you know what? I have all the faith in Zach Chappello's any coach could have. We just, you know what? We're a young line. And we do make mental mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are we turn our back to try to double-team somebody and open up a gap for someone to slide through. We're getting better. We're working every day. We went over it relentlessly this week to try to seal up that middle and put more kids on the defense, 14 kids rushing, and we gave them some time, and we were kicking 40-yard field goals in practice. So we do work on it. We practice our specialty teams. We practice defense every day. We work on individual things every day. Our kids are getting better every day because we're giving them opportunity to get better and work on skills.
Defensively, you completely shut Cottonwood down in the second half. No points at all. Typically, that'll win you football games. I mean, if you're going into halftime down two scores and you shut that team out in the second half, typically you're going to come away with a win. You had to have been pleasantly pleased with this defense, I would assume.
You know what? Our defense is playing great football right now. You know, they're going to be tested this week. Duchesne's quick. A lot quicker than Cottonwood was. But, you know, I think we're as quick as anybody. I think we're going to put some pressure on the quarterback. He doesn't seem like he handles pressure real well. I think we have our defensive backs are good cover people. You know, I think we're going to make some things happen. We got to stop that wishbone. You know, they run a wishbone, and that's always a little deceptive. But if we can get some people in the backfield, line-wise, quick stunners, it's hard to run a wishbone if you can't razzle-dazzle the the play. So we're excited. We're excited to come. And you know what, Duchesne, we do have two sides of the ball. Most of our kids play one way with a couple that are doing double duty. We got to do that a little better. Maybe not push kids, some kids. I overran Cooper Shade last week, and we're going to try to back off a little bit on Cooper so he has more energy when it comes to the fourth quarter, because he is one of our playmakers. He's a kid you can maybe ask for that last big heave. So we're going to do things different. You know, we're going to learn from our mistakes. We're going to learn from the loss. We didn't cry about losing. We all felt bad. You know, it was a game we should have won. Big 5A school on the bus, got caught in traffic with mask on. It was miserable. It was a miserable experience getting there. The stadium's giant. It looks like a college football field, AstroTurf. Our kids were in awe to start with, but all after the game started and they scored on us, pretty soon we realized it's just a football game. And that's what I'm most proud of for Carbon High football, that our kids stepped up. Our kids made great tackles, teamwork, team tackles, just what we were hoping at the first of the season.
Again, Coach Phil Howa of the Carbon Diners, our guest right now. And Coach, we'll jump ahead. We'll talk about Duchesne. Last year, these two teams go toe-to-toe. It's going to look a lot different this year because we did lose a lot of seniors. But the final score was 11-0. And when I think of Duchesne and Carbon, especially with the offense that you've implemented, this could be a very fast game. I mean, you mentioned the wishbone, two teams that want to run. Duchesne has a couple of kids that have already crossed the 100-yard barrier on the ground. But as you alluded to, they have a quarterback that is capable of throwing the football. Although in the first two games, even though Duchesne is 2-0, he has thrown a couple of interceptions. So I'm sure, looking at it, you want to force this kid outside of the pocket, collapse it, make him make decisions on the run, and hopefully he makes some bad decisions, right?
Oh, exactly. You know what? We're gonna take some chances defensively. We're gonna, you know, Taylor Brower, I talked to him today. He says, you know, Coach, I'm gonna stay aggressive. We're gonna try to put some pressure on this guy and make him handle things on the run. Defensive line wise, we're quick, strong. Hopefully we can hold our ground and sit and wait for the comebacks. You know, they do some things that go opposite the flow, so we have to be disciplined and stay home.
I know that for spectators, they can look at tags and say, well, Cottonwood was a 5A school, Duchesne this week is a 2A school. I tell people all the time, you cannot look at the classification tags. I mean, this Duchesne football program, they're very good. They're a very established program. There's rich history here. And so this is an important game. I mean, and when you go back and you look at the history of Duchesne football, a victory for this Carbon team this season, that would be a great thing.
Oh, it would be the highlight right now. Mm-hmm. Where we're at. When we beat Duchesne, this is going to be the start of our season. I mean, really, what we've done in the past is just getting us prepared for what's coming, and we're hoping going into region that we can have some success. I think we can get Duchesne. I think they might. I don't see the Duchesne from the past. I do see a Carbon team that can pass, so we're not just run orientated. We don't have to stick with the run. You know, I need to get my big fullback running. Rolling, so he's hitting the line, moving. After they hit him a couple of times, they won't want to hit him no more. and then our speed guys are going to have that privilege of getting outside and making them chase him. I feel good about it. I feel like we have a chance to go and show who Carbon High is. I said we've played great defense. We can hold defense, you know, Duchesne to minimal yards. You know, everything's. I'm excited. I think we can do something this week.
Well, and I think that the environment is going to be a big difference this week as well, because, yes, we've already played one home game against American Leadership Academy, but if you go back to it, it was before school even started, right? Then you go on the road last week to Cottonwood. This is the first opportunity for the kids to play in front of their student body, because now school's back in session. The kids are walking the halls. There's talk of the football games. It's just a completely different environment. Home field this week looks completely different than it looked in week one.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we had kids that had never played at Carbon High, seniors that were first-year seniors that played well for first-year seniors. I have a first-year senior lineman that's learning every day, willing to work, and he's big and strong, and he's going to take care of us. You know, he's going to do what he has to do to get better. Running backs that are seniors that maybe haven't played three 3 years, and they're learning on the go. Receivers, same way. I mean, we just have some young people, but they're willing to work and learn. I mean, we work hard every day. Our kids show up, and if I took roll, I'd say 95% show up rate, and that's awesome,
mm-hmm.
especially in today's society.
No doubt.
Because it's like, as long as there's nothing better to do, I'll go to practice.
Yeah.
So my kids have they've dedicated themselves to come to practice and become better.
Has it been different now that school is in session? I mean, beforehand, the kids didn't have to worry about school. Now they have to worry about school. So I'm sure from a coaching staff and even from a player perspective, it is a little bit different now.
Oh, you know what? It's like you're running. You're running to keep your head above. You're just trying to keep your head above water. The biggest difference is we're practicing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon where it's the heat of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a challenge for us. We typically were practicing from 6 to 8, which is kind of the cool down time. But I think it's good for the kids because we will play night games. So when they get out and get ready to play, they're going to have a little boost of energy because they're not exhausted from the heat. I'm excited. I think we're ready to play some football for the rest of the, you know, we're ready. We're getting better and our kids are working harder every day. And that's all I can ask.
Well, we can end with this, Coach. Have you paid attention at all to the rest of the Region 12 standings, the rankings, the way things have gone down within this region, which I know we're still a couple of weeks off of league play, but have you paid attention to that at all?
I have not. I'm so overwhelmed with where I'm at right now. I said I'm trying to get classes organized and practice schedules, and I need to start checking some of those region game statistics, and I did the first week. I checked and saw how our region was doing, but I haven't had a chance since, I have to be honest. So
yeah, well, plenty of time before we get into region.
Well, I'm
play.
Sure you'll give me some help.
Absolutely,
too,
so yeah, no question.
Yeah,
Coach Alla, I always appreciate you taking out the time to join us. No big injuries, right, going into this week.
You know what? We had one. Nango Vasquez, Orlando Vasquez, tore his ACL. He's getting checked today. They're talking, playing with it, with a brace, that type of stuff. We're hoping it's not as bad as they think. He's a hard one to lose. He's defensively strong, offensively strong. But we have people. So we have some subs. We have some people that maybe aren't Orlando. Maybe they step up and be more than Orlando. I mean, you know what? Sometimes you give kids a chance and they surprise you.
Yeah.
I said, we have a Will Carmichael who's ranked in the state already on tackles. He's going to come over and do some tight end for us. Tough kid, good blocker. I mean, we're okay. We're going to make it. Boobs, you know, we ended up having, our kids were beat up. They played so hard. They were beat up on Monday. We had to kind of back off, but we're back. I think we're fairly strong and relatively strong. I mean, we still have a couple of kids that are limping around a little bit, but, you know, game time kind of makes those things go away too. So.
Yes, it does, no doubt. Well, Coach, again, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us, and look forward to watching the game Friday night. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks, Jordan, for having us.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We just talked Carbon High School football. I want to talk Emory for just a moment, because tomorrow night, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the Spartans will take on American Leadership Academy. It's a great gauge game to see where Emory is sitting. And I say that because we are inching closer to region play. And American Leadership Academy top Carbon 38-7. That was 2 weeks ago. I know teams improve, things change. But that will be a game that we can kind of gauge as to where Emory is at right now in the placement of the region. I mean, so far it's been tough. Millard's a two-way school, very solid program. You look at North San Pete, they're a powerhouse in the 3A classification. And so I am looking forward to tomorrow night's game. And then you go back to last year's game against ALA. And there was so much fun in that contest. Emory had it. It was there for the taking. ALA storms back late. They pick up a win. Emory had a chance. Last possession of the game, last play of the game. Unfortunately, things did not quite work out. And so tomorrow's game is going to be very interesting for a number of different reasons. Plus, we'll see how Emory responds to a 38-6 loss to North St. Pete last week. Last night, I was hanging around the Emory High School practice. Always try to catch up with a senior football player while attending practice. And this week, I caught up with Stockton Jensen, who we will see on the offensive line. You'll see him occasionally defensively, but for the most part, he helps anchor what is a very experienced offensive line. Here's a quick interview I did last night with Emory High School football player Stockton Jensen. Stockton, first off, it's a pleasure. Thanks for speaking with us once again.
Yep, you're welcome.
All right, we're a couple of games now into the season. 0-2 so far, but there's still a lot of football left to be played. How would you assess the way the season's gone up to this point in time?
I think our running game has been good, and our passing and our pass blocking on the line has been good too. So, yeah, that's
now, typically, we're going to see you on the offensive side of the ball. Occasionally, we'll see you on the defensive end. But let's talk about what you guys have been able to accomplish offensively. This is a group that has played together for a very long time. You guys also played when you were sophomores, right? I mean, you've been playing at the varsity level for a little while. So what's the continuity like up front for this team right now?
Good for the most part.
You guys all get along? You guys all hang out after practice?
Yeah, pretty much. We have our own little corner in the high school that we all go hang out at. So
typically, the big guys up front, they don't get a lot of love, right? So you guys have to protect one another.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the skill position players. You guys block for a pretty outstanding running back, Jace Curtis. And you guys have a very capable quarterback in Riker as well. So when you look at the options behind you, the weapons behind you, how much fun is that, knowing that you got some guys that are playmakers?
It's nice to know, and I'm sure for, like, Riker and Jace, it's nice to have some blocks up front for first time in a while, so this year, so it should be good.
Yeah, we've talked about the growth from sophomore year to senior year. What's the biggest thing that you've noticed in you personally as far as where you're at today compared to when you were a sophomore?
My pass blocking's a lot better, and so is my run blocking, but mainly my pass blocking.
Coming up, we have ALA. This should be an interesting game. This is a game we should have won last year on the road. Is this one that you have circled on your calendar, knowing what went down last year?
Oh, definitely, definitely. We have some scores to settle with them. So,
you guys had an opportunity. I know it would have been a heroic play had you guys scored, but all in all, it was a fun. It was an entertaining game. What are some of the things that you guys have prepped for this week in regards to ALA?
Mainly the front and like how they're going to blitz and stuff and how we're going to pick it up and run the football pretty much. So,
are they comparable at all to what we've seen talent-wise, be it from Millard or be it from North St. Pete? Have you seen any similarities?
Yeah. When Millard and North St. Pete would both go into four fronts, it was pretty much the exact same as ALA is running. So we've already seen it. So, and it's the pretty much the exact same defense that we run, so we're pretty used to blocking it and such. So.
All right, well, let's talk about being a student-athlete. For the first little while, you've been able to just be a football player. You didn't have to worry about school. That's not the case anymore. You have school as well. First week for you guys. What's that been like? Is it more difficult?
I hate masks. They are...
Unless it's a face mask, right? You can handle
the
face mask.
Yeah, I can handle the face mask, but I can't handle that stuff being over my nose because, like, the first day the AC was not on and it was so hot, it was bad.
And like, does that translate to the football field? Does it make you exhausted when you go out and play football?
No, exactly, because I can breathe for the most part. So, I like it better on the field.
Well, Stockton, we're going to end with this. What are your plans once you get out of high school? Have you thought about that now that you're a senior? That's a tough question, I know.
Just go to college at Snow, pretty much. That's all I have planned.
All right, well, we got a long ways to go before we get to that point. So, thank you for taking out the time. Best of luck Friday against ALA, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
All right, thank you.
Again, that's Emory High School football player Stockton Jensen, one of the anchors on that offensive line. And, of course, he'll be playing tomorrow as Emory takes on American Leadership Academy. It's been a long time since we've been able to call a football game at Emory High School, and tomorrow it'll be the home opener. If you can't get out to the game, live coverage will begin right here at 6:25. Kickoff will follow at 7. You're going to hear from Coach Famalo. You'll hear from Stockton Jensen. We'll break down tomorrow night's contest. And, of course, you can always listen at the game. Just tune into KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, and you can follow the action live in time. No delay if you're listening to the radio at the football game tomorrow night. We're going to take another quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, we're live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We are 2 weeks away from the NFL making its return here to KOAL. You never know it, though. Isn't it odd? Off-season with no preseason games? I think it's going to take roughly 5-6 weeks before we see quality football out on the field. We'll open up the season here on KOAL coming up on September 10th. That's when the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs will take the field. And they'll go toe-to-toe with the Houston Texans. That'll be on September 10th. So we are about 2 weeks away from some NFL football. And I'm really curious to see what the rosters are going to look like. The rosters in the NFL, they're so hamstrung anyways by numbers. There's rumors that teams would actually consider keeping two kickers because you can't really have on-field competition. And that's such an important piece to any team, any successful team. Well, the Bills released Steven Hauschka today. He's been their starting kicker for the last 3 years. Nearly 1 year to the day after giving him a 2-year contract extension because Tyler Bass, who is a rookie that they selected out of the 6th round, took over, won the battle. But I think more of a curious move, something that I am definitely going to monitor, took place in San Francisco today. The 49ers have had a real issue with trying to keep their wide receivers healthy. About 2 weeks ago, they signed Tavon Austin, who never really was an impact player in the NFL, had all of the makings coming out of college. Remember at West Virginia? Looked like he was going to be the guy. It just really never caught on. They signed Tavon Austin after a short stint in Dallas. And today the 49ers sign another West Virginia guy in Kevin White. 2015, he was a first-round pick of the Bears. Number 7 overall. And the guy looks like he is in phenomenal shape. But the problem has been his inability to stay healthy. He had leg injuries, limited him to 14 games in 3 seasons with the Bears. Did not play last year after getting cut by the Cardinals in training camp. And he only has 25 career receptions and has never scored an NFL touchdown. But if you go back and you look at what this guy had from, I guess, the possibility just coming out of college, right? He has the skill set. He's just never caught on. Looking at the way this guy is right now from a shape standpoint, I'm really curious to see if Kyle Shanahan, because again, this is a last stop for you. Especially for a guy like Kevin White. You go into a situation with someone like Kyle Shanahan, offensive guru. If you can't stick in San Francisco with that offensive mind, your career is done. I always find these rebuild projects really interesting. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. This may be a non-factor. We may never see Kevin White play it down for the 49ers. But nonetheless, it's interesting. So Tavon Austin, J.J. Nelson, Kevin White. These are all veterans that San Francisco has brought in because of the injuries that they have suffered to their wide receivers on the outside. I mean, this team has been bit by very, very bad luck. So those are some storylines to follow in the NFL. Again, 2 weeks away from the start of the season, and it seems like it's so far away. Almost like we're not going to get the NFL, even though we are. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's no preseason. I'm assuming that's what it is. You know, Hard Knocks, that's a series that always interests me. This year, we got the Rams and the Chargers. I watched episode 1. It was all right. I'm not a fan of flipping from team to team. I like to focus on one squad. Too many storylines going on. We didn't get the Hall of Fame game. We didn't get the Hall of Fame ceremony. For whatever it is, it just doesn't seem like the NFL is that close. But it is, and it's coming. September 10th, right here on KOAL, we'll get the Chiefs and the Texans to start the 2020 season. Let's end with this. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk a lot of national sports. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. We'll bring in two of my favorite guests. Steve Bortstein, great friend of mine, longtime contributor to Drive Time Sports. He's going to join us. We'll talk Major League Baseball as we get into the final weekend before the trade deadline and some of the storylines that we haven't really touched on. as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Always look forward to getting Steve on the show. Always great for some insight. And we'll also catch up with another dear friend of mine, Jabari Davis of the Dunks and Discourse podcast. Jabari, an excellent, excellent basketball mind. He's been joining us every Friday during the playoffs. We can talk about what's happening in the bubble. But I think another storyline that is worth mentioning is the amount of rest. Right. I mean, I'm not trying to stray away from anything that the NBA is trying to accomplish. I'm not trying to make this just completely ignore what's happening. However, when the games resume on Saturday, rest, who does that benefit? I think there are some teams that really could benefit from rest. For instance, the Houston Rockets, who only want to run 7 or 8 deep to begin with. That's it. They only want to go 7 or 8 deep. And when you're playing every other day, that wears on you. There's no break. There's no break for travel in between these games. The Lakers, LeBron James is 35 years old. An extra day's rest did him some good. You know, Dame Lillard was not supposed to play last night because of a knee injury. And I don't know if Dame plays come Saturday, and it's really not going to matter in a series like that. But sore bodies, sore muscles, who could the break help? I think we need to look at it from a basketball standpoint as well. We'll dive into that on the show tomorrow. And then we'll get you set up for what's going to be a very busy night of high school football. The Emory Spartans and the Carbon Dinos both will be in action. Emory will play host to American Leadership Academy tomorrow right here on KOAL. Live coverage will begin at 6:25 p.m. I'll be joined by Travis Anderson in the booth for the home opener. And don't forget, you can also listen at CastleCountryRadio.com. And also, the Carbon Dinos, they'll take on Duchesne at home. Live coverage of that contest is scheduled to begin at 6:30. And you can also listen through the KRPX radio app as well. So we'll have more local sports on tap tomorrow. That's going to do it for today. I want to thank Coach Phil Hawa for taking out the time to join us in studio. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.